Amen. I've been listening to Brother Day and Miss Linda sing for 17 years, and I still love it. Amen. And I appreciate them very much. Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Today marks the one-year anniversary of Coastline Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. And that's where Pastor is this morning. He's down there preaching for Brother Stone. And I think that's just a glory hallelujah, amen. And a lot of churches don't make it to that one-year mark when they're started. And I know Brother Stone's going to do a great job down there. And I hope that you pray for him. He needs it. He's definitely doing a great work down there, and pray for them. I pray that they have a lot of people saved this morning, and that'd just be great, wouldn't it? And so looking forward to hearing back from Pastor this evening, and so as he'll be traveling back tonight, and but be in prayer for him as he travels back, but be in prayer for him as he's probably preaching right now. So I don't know, he may just be getting started. They don't start till 11, so we got a head start on Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3 this morning. I want you to notice, and I know this is a familiar passage of Scripture dealing with the fall of man. But I want us to look and see where Adam and Eve are in a perfect garden, in a perfect state of mind, but yet they fail. And why did they fall? How did they fall? And I think we know that we've heard this story from a little child. But I think this morning what would help us is to see how Satan came into the garden and how he presented himself before man and caused man to fall. And so as we look this morning, we'll look and see that Satan, he's powerful. Don't let anybody ever fool you in thinking that you are any match for the devil. There's only one that is greater than the devil, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. No man on earth can bind him. Only God in heaven can cause a hedge of protection about you to keep you safe from the evil one. I believe as we look into this world today, there's a lot of people that think within themselves that they can defeat the devil. But can I tell you, you cannot. You say, well, what do? Do we just give up? No, you become smarter by hearing the Word of God and knowing how He works in people's lives. And knowing how he strategically plans to ruin you. By the way, he is not your friend. He is your enemy. I've heard this said many times that there's only one person you ought to ever hate. And that's the devil. And I hope this morning that you hate him with a fervent hate. That even just the presence of him in your life, you would begin to just really just shake it and know that he's there. And the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And you say he's going to tuck tail and run. I believe that's what the Scripture just said. But I also believe that there is a season that he may be gone and there will be a season when he'll be back. And so we live our lives looking for his will for us. I preach on this morning, Satan's will for your life. He realized that just as God has a will for your life, Satan has a will for your life. And we'll look at these things here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. You know what this verse confirms to us? That number one, that the Lord God had already talked to Adam about this. And we know it through Scripture, that God told Adam, he said, you can have anything in the garden. Could you imagine this morning? You know how kids are? If there was a whole apple orchard outside today, and there was one apple tree in the middle, and we tell the children, I'm going to say children because us adults would not do this, I know. We said, kids, now look, there's 1,000 trees out there, but there's one in the middle, don't touch that one. And we say, all right, y'all go. You know what every kid's going to do, right? They're going for the middle tree. You know where we get that from? From a fallen nature. You see what this verse confirms to us is that God told Adam that you can eat of anything, but you can't eat of the tree, just as she said, of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. How did Eve know that? Because Adam had told his wife, honey, we can have anything in this garden, but we cannot have that which is in the middle. We cannot have that one. Now notice this. Notice how Satan begins to work. Verse 3, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now we know that there's a little falsehood in that. But I want you to notice verse 4. It says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. This is where the falsehood comes in. Because God said, you're going to die. You are going to die if you eat of this fruit. You know what I think's wrong with America? We don't fear God anymore. Well, I know the Bible says that, you know, salvation is by grace through faith. I know that, but I also think, hey, listen to me, my friend. It's by grace through faith, or you die and you go to hell. Why? Because Jesus said there's one way to heaven. There's one pathway that leads to heaven, and it's Jesus Christ. And so, notice what the devil does here. He says in verse 5, says this, for God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, all right there. You realize this is what this scripture is. It's the pride of life. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, all three of them are in these scriptures right here. And guess what? Satan appeals to those senses that are inside of us, that fleshly senses that we have, that flesh that we embody today. He appeals to that. And you know what? I believe this is whenever he says, ye shall be gods, I believe that he probably went, By the way, ain't that what everybody wants today, is to be somebody big and handsome, tall? You ever talk to a kid? What do they want to grow up to be? Nobody's ever said, I want to be 5'4", short, fat, and ugly. Now, I don't think there's anybody that did that. Now, some of us did that and didn't want that. But even today, sometimes, you know, I'll sit around sometimes and I'm 5'8", with my shoes on. And sometimes I sit around and think, man, I wish I was 6". You know, if I was 6 foot, guess what? I want to be 6'5". If I was 6'5", I'd want to be 7". If I was 7", I'd want to be nowhere, because you'd hit your head everywhere. And, you know, we always want something greater, and Satan knew that he could appeal to that. Now notice, if you will, verse 6 comes into the saddest part of the scripture, because we see that man falls, and this is where we have our human nature, or our condemned nature. Verse 6 says, When the woman saw, now listen to me, that's what gets us in trouble today. It's what we see. Why do you think department stores have glass windows on the front of them? Have you ever seen a department store that looked like a Jehovah's Witnesses church with no windows? Did y'all know that? Jehovah's Witness churches don't have windows. By the way, if you live a dark life, you wouldn't want no windows in your life either, right? Amen. You go to the department store, what do they do? They put in all the famous stuff and all of the name brand stuff. Hey, listen, I didn't see, when you go by the store, they don't put the Walmart brand out there on the front. They put the Nike brand. They put the things that would appeal to your eyes. Have you ever went somewhere and said, you know, I'm not really hungry? And then somebody walks by you with one of those Cinnabons. And all of a sudden, what? My eye hath affected my belly. That's the same way the devil's working here. Notice this. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was what? Pleasant to the eyes. Notice what happened. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. One of the saddest days in all of Scripture is this day. When man, living in a perfect state, in a perfect garden, did the one thing that God told them not to do. And they were tricked, they were deceived, they were... The devil's slick, by the way. And you know what? He does the same tactics to me and you. By the way, if you're saved this morning, glory, hallelujah. But you know what? Satan doesn't stop when you get saved and say, well, they're saved, I just give up. No, he wants to make you miserable. He wants to make you miserable. After I pray, we'll preach Satan's will for your life. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Lord, I cannot do this without you this morning. And Father, I would not even try. Lord, would you use my voice this morning and Lord, to proclaim your word and truth. And God, help me to keep, Lord, just right where you want me to be this morning. The words you want me to say. Lord, I ask that you help me now and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me give you some thanks this morning as we see that we are dealing with a fallen nature because of the fall of man. And why did they fall? Because Satan had his way and Satan had his will in Adam and Eve's life. Satan, when he went to the garden, he did not go there and said, well, I'll see what'll happen. I believe this with all of my heart that when Satan went into the Garden of Eden is that he had a strategic plan. I believe he had been watching them in the garden. I believe he knew their footsteps. I believe he knew where they went. And I believe he knew as he watched them maybe where he could find a little crevice or a little crack in their lives and get in there and to destroy not just Adam and Eve. He knew he would not just destroy one person or two people. He knew that by destroying these two people that he would destroy the whole human race. Wow. By the way, you hear this all the time. When you fall, you don't fall by yourself. You always take somebody with you. And that was Satan's thing. He says, boy, if I'm already fallen. But if I'm going to be a fallen one, I'm going to carry everybody else with me. And by the way, he's very smart. He's very smart. If you study about bank robbers, good ones anyway, not the goober ones. If you study good bank robbers, you'll notice one thing, not that I study them. I can't even get into my own account, much less somebody else's. As is said, that they spend sometimes years casing these banks. They spend hundreds and thousands of hours watching when the tellers are at this point and where this and how it was even said. I was studying, looking at one, Googled one, and it said that this was in London, is that they would study that the teller's life. When they would leave the bank, they would follow them home and find out what they did. And it said that they studied this one bank for 3 years just to get in and to rob this bank. But it was said that through the course of 3 years, even as tellers' jobs have changed and things have switched around, is that the routine remained the same. And that they found a very, very good flaw in the process of this bank. Now, I'm not going to give you all what they've done because y'all may try to rob my bank. And don't do that because there ain't nothing in there. But they, as they were able to just really, it was amazing. You read the story how they were able almost to walk in there. And what they did is that they took on the form of a bank employee. By the way, the Bible says, think it no strange thing that Satan can appear as an angel of the light. And they, as being employees, had access. They gained access to that bank security. And it is said that they didn't even know that the bank was robbed until the next day. And these guys were long gone. And guess what? They never caught them. I think it was like six guys that back in the early 80s that did this. It was an amazing story. But as I look at that and I think of how Satan came into this garden, he didn't come in there going, well, I think I'll make up a plan once I get there. I think he had a plan. I think he had a plan. Now, I want to give you some things this morning that Satan's will for your life. I want to give you three things this morning that he wants to do to you. Number one, he wants to beguile you. If you look up that word beguile, it means to charm or to while away pleasantly. You know what's sad in America today is that if you study these guys who are child predators and how they take these children, how do they do it? They don't go running up there. Ah! Hey, what do? They offer them something. They talk about a dog and they are able to convince these kids to go with them. Isn't it sad that we live in that day and time? But as we see that, how do they learn? Hey, that's the devil's work in our lives. He comes to us and he tries to charm us and tries to trick us and tries to make us think that he is one of us and that he's one of our friends. You see, when he came to Eve, notice if you will, verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast in the field." Notice that the word subtile means this. Subtle means cunning or crafty. That explains Satan right there. By the way, you know what's wrong with the world is that they got the wrong picture of Satan, right? Everybody, if I was to go to children's church right now, give all the kids a piece of paper and say, "Draw Satan for me." Do you think they would draw somebody that looked like me? Don't say that. Let's change that. But what would they draw? They'd draw the guy with the pitchfork, some scary guy. But listen, that's not Satan. The Bible just said he came looking beautiful. He was prettier than, and he was more crafty than any other beast in that garden at that time. And when he came to Satan, or came to Eve, listen to me, Eve didn't go, "Ah!" Right? You don't notice that in the scripture. Notice it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field." And notice what he does. He comes up to the woman, and in verse 3 he says, "And the woman said unto the serpent," said unto the serpent. Now, this is not a snake that slithers. We know that was because of the curse that a snake now is on its belly and it eats of the dust for the rest of the days of its life. But in this time, this would have been an upright beast that would have came and would have looked beautiful and came before Eve and said, "Can I talk to you?" And I'm sure Eve went, "Well, you pretty little thing." It's kind of like, you ever watch women with cats? Mr. Verder, amen? I mean, or a dog. "Oh, come here." You know? I mean, could you imagine this pretty, I don't know what animal it was, but this animal came to Eve, and Eve was, what? All of a sudden, her defenses were let down. By the way, you know, some of the greatest crooks in the world are people who look like me and you. Right? You know, Satan doesn't come out of the bushes when you get home. Rah! Rah! He doesn't work like that. Why? Because you would go, "Ah!" and run. But he comes to you in a nice form, in something that you would feel comfortable with. And you say, "Well, how do I know it's him?" You wait to hear from him. Because he's going to try to get you to go the opposite way that you're going with God. And notice that's what happens with, he beguiled Eve in the garden, and he beguiles us every day. His will for us is for him to beguile us, to charm us, to whisk us away pleasantly. And by the way, there's a lot of people that are not in church this morning because why? Satan had just, he doesn't come and grab your arm and snatch you out of church. He comes by and he holds your hand for a little while in church pew. Pats you on the back for a little while. For long. He gets you a little ways, gets you a little ways. Amen? Amen? Kind of like boys do girls. Amen? Watching my teenage daughter, because I know how boys work. Right? They just don't come by and grab their hand and take off with them. It's real easy, right? We got to watch out. We got to keep our eyes open. Notice, if you will, the second thing, or some other things in this. Notice he said that he was more subtle. He was more crafty. He was more cunning. He was beautiful. By the way, he makes himself look good. He makes a lie look good. And he makes sin look good. That's his job. That's his will. Notice the second thing. Not only is his will for you to be beguiled, but notice it is to blind you. The Bible says, "And the God of this world, which hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." No, in other words, the lost people of the world are blinded people. What is he blinding you from? He's blinding you from the truth. Why? Because John told us that the truth shall set you free. And if the truth has set you free, you're free what? Indeed. And Satan comes along in the garden, and his job was to blind Eve to the truth. So you see, if you go back to verse 2, it says, "And the woman said unto the serpent, which we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Eve knew the truth. Eve had the truth. Eve had been told the truth. Eve had been holding on to this truth. But because he's crafty and because he's cunning and because he's really, he's just a slick Rick, isn't he? That's an Alabama term. We used to call Satan old Slewfoot. Anybody ever heard that yet? You almost had to be from the backwoods to know what that means. I don't even know what it means. I just know it ain't good. He just kind of comes in and boy, he presents himself in such a manner that people go, oh, bless their hearts. Bless them, Lord. I never forget, whenever I was pastoring in Alabama, I had heard a knock on my door one night. Me and my wife was home, my family was home. And these two, I would say, people that are in their 60s, you can decide if that's old, younger, or medium, in their 60s, came by my door, said, hey, preacher, we ran out of gas, but we have somebody with us that is willing to take us to the gas station. We just don't have money for gas. I'm telling you what, my heart just went. So I grabbed my wallet and I gave them everything I had, which was 20 bucks. Well, later on that night, I believe it was probably 1 a.m, I heard another knock on my door. The same two very cute people that were so poor. I mean, I just felt sorry for them. Well, this time they were stone drunk. Knocking on my door, not even able to hold a conversation with me. You see, they tricked me the first time. Now, you say, I still give money to people because that's in the Lord's hands, right? I want to be a help to anybody I can. But can I say that these people tricked me? You know why? Because there's only one gas station in our town, and I went up to the store, and I knew the store owner, which his name is Jimmy. And I said, Jimmy, were these people here that bought gas? Hadn't seen them. Well, they didn't even own a car, as I found out. They tricked me. How did they do that? They didn't come to me and open and knock on my door and say, hey, give me money. Right? I'm telling you what, they had everything but tears in their eyes. You know, our car ran out. We're having bad. Hey, listen, they tricked me. And I thought, man, that's how the devil works sometimes, is that he comes to you and he comes to Eve and he just wants to kind of cuddle up next to you so he can do what? So he can blind you. So he can blind you to the truth. You say, wait a minute, I'm saved. I'm not blind anymore. I once was lost, now I found. I was blind, but now I see. I understand that. But can I say Satan can still obscure your vision? He can still obscure your spiritual vision of you seeing the truth and seeing the will of God in your life. And just as in Eve's life, he put the blinders on them. You know what's a sad statement in this verse, in this chapter? Notice, if you will, verse 6. It says, in verse 7, it says, and the eyes of them both were open. You say, wait a minute. They're not blind. You got to know what eyes these were that opened. These were the fleshly eyes. Their fleshly eyes were closed. They didn't know that there was sin. You say, how do you know that? Because the scripture says when their eyes were open, they saw that they were what? They were naked. Before, that was not a problem. Before, that was not an evil thought. Before, that was not a bad thing. But now that they can see through fleshly eyes, and now they know good and they know evil. They look, and the Bible says their eyes were open. But yet, as the fleshly eyes became open, the spiritual eyes became blind. You know, I think there's a lot of people in the world that have great vision. I have 20/20 vision. I have great vision. My wife calls me Eagle, or Hawk, or whatever she calls me. I can see things a mile away. I tell people this all the time. If a gnat had a tag plate on the back, I could read it. I could read a license plate on the back of a net. I mean, my eyes are just great eyes. But you know what? That doesn't depict my spiritual life. Just because I have 20/20 vision on my physical being doesn't mean that my spiritual sight is the same. Why? Because sometimes we get obscured vision. Why? Because sin obscures our vision and Satan comes and he obscures our vision in our life. He begins to blind us to the truth and to the will of God. You know, as being a pastor before, and it's been a while, but, you know, sometimes I just know the will of God for people's lives. You know why? Because I know they're to read the Bible. I know that they're to pray. I know that they're to witness. I know that they're to serve. I know that they're to give. That is the will of God for everybody's life. And people come to me sometimes and they're like, "Preacher, I just don't know what to do in this area, you know, in life." And to me, it's pretty clear. Because people come to you, you wouldn't believe this because you're here this morning, but there are people say, "Hey, you know, I think I need to get out of church for a little while and get my marriage fixed." I promise with my hand raised, I've had people say that to me. I've had people, my wife can tell you that we've had a family in our church that said, "When we get our marriage fixed, we'll be back at church." And can I tell you, is that husband ended up killing that wife that was a member of our church? Because why? Because they were going to try to work their marriage out without church and without God. And to me, Brother Jerry, it was very clear that the door was open there. But yet, what had happened to them? Satan had blinded them again. Yes, they're still saved, still born again, still on their way to heaven. But spiritually, they had been blinded again. Broke my heart. Two little girls that I had to go tell that their mom was dead. Why? Because Satan had tricked this family in the thinking that they were doing the right thing of staying out of church and fixing their marriage. Can I say, if you ever, ever, ever have that thought in your head, it is a thought of Satan. It is a thought of Satan. You can't do anything about your marriage outside of this church. You're not going to fix your life outside of church, outside of the Bible. You're not going to do it. Christ died for the church. Why do you think? Hey, we're here this morning. We're here because we want to worship Him. But Christ died for us this morning. And let's don't say, "Hey, I'm going to leave it behind to fix on my life, to fix my life," because you won't. Satan is so cunning, isn't he? He wants to blind you. But I want you to notice something else this morning. Is that, let me say this to you. As we think about being blinded, is that when you're blinded, you know what happens whenever you can't see something? You have to wonder about something. You ever start to wonder about something and start to guess about something and start to second guess something because you can't see it? Well, guess what? In our life, we have two visions. We have physical and we have spiritual. And in the spiritual realms, how do we see? We see through faith. You know what? Sometimes in our life, our vision is going to get obscured. Sin's going to come in. But can I tell you what's going to break that is just keep having faith and keep trusting the Lord and trusting His power and make sure you're cleaning your life up every day of your life, making sure that you're not giving a foothold to Satan in your life. Why? Because when he comes in, my friends, he's coming in. He brings his bags with him. Satan doesn't come by with a ticket that says, "Hey, just today's date on it." He comes with his bags. He wants to stay and keep you just blinded. But can I say there's a third thing we need to look at this morning? That Satan's will for your life is not only to beguile you, but also the third thing this morning, to bewilder you. You know what that word bewilder just simply means? To keep out of the way, to keep lost. Boy, isn't that the way he wants to work? He just wants to keep you away from the truth. He'll blind you, but he'll keep you bewildered. You know, you ever play pin the tail on the donkey? You know, I hate those games. You know why? Because I get dizzy when somebody spins me around. And then they hand you a stick. It just sounds dangerous, but it sounds fun too. Hey, I'm going to hold a big stick in my hand. You spin me around, I'm going to get dizzy and I'm going to swing it. Oh, that's a good game. Amen? But have you ever seen somebody where they just play with them for a little while? Kind of like Brother Clark does at our rodeo. I can't tell you how he does it because I give our secret away out here. But, you know, spin them around, they face them the wrong way and they go running out that way. Spin around again, face them that way, and keep them from hitting their target. You know what? Satan does the same thing. Just keeps you spinning. Have you ever noticed today is that we have all the luxuries of life in our cell phone? I mean, I even have a lady now that talks to me in my cell phone. I mean, my wife really had to check on me the other day because I was talking to Siri. And I was asking Siri, I said, "Siri, do I need an umbrella today?" And she said, "You will need an umbrella today." I was like, "Thank you, Siri." My wife comes in here and she's like, Who are you talking to? I'm talking to my cell phone. And my cell phone talks to me. I want to know where I'm going. My cell phone tells me. I want a recipe for my wife to cook. Siri tells me. If I want to know what the weather is, just throw it away. They don't know. But we have microwaves. We have fast food restaurants. We got fast cars that we can only drive 35 miles an hour around here. We have all the luxuries of life. But yet we are all still so busy. And Satan just keeps us turning and keeps us bewildered in this life and keeps us bewildered until Saturday afternoon you sit down on your couch finally and you go, wow, I miss reading my Bible this week. I miss praying today. By the way, I was taught this at a young age. You pray as if you're the only one praying. Who's going to pray for your family if you don't? I don't think nobody else is. You take your prayer list. Who's going to pray for them? I think nobody else is but me. Now, I know there's other people praying, but I was always taught, pray as if you're the only one in the world that's going to pray for them. And can I say that if Satan can take us away from prayer and take us away from Bible reading, take us away from visitation and soul winning and giving and coming to church, he just keeps us bewildered and keeps us going. Have you ever had one of those weeks where, you know, you miss Sunday because you're sick? You ever had one of those Sundays, you know, you're sick and man, you miss. And then the next Sunday, something else happens. The next Sunday, something else happens. For long, what happens? Just like a top. Just keeps us spinning. Guess what? You ever seen a little top? Take a top and you spin it. What does that top ever accomplish? Entertainment. That's it. And guess what Satan just wants you to be? Is entertainment for him. He just wants to sit there and watch you spin in place. Because he knows that the danger to him is when you start moving forward. And you get momentum in your spiritual life, he's in trouble. He's losing ground. Satan's an all-powerful person. But can I say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world? We just need to draw closer to God. And even though man fell in the garden, we today have a risen Savior who will help us. We have a Holy Spirit that is in us. We have a completed Word of God that will help us. You know the first thing that Jesus Christ faced in Matthew chapter 4? He didn't face a crowd that said, hey, we'd like to be saved. Or a crowd that said, hey, could you heal us? You know what chapter 4 Matthew says? Is that the devil came and took him up into an exceeding high mountain. The first thing that Jesus Christ faced on this earth was the devil. You say, well, how did he defeat him? Word of God. You're not going to beat him in your own strength. His will for your life is to destroy you. He wants to destroy you. If you're here this morning, you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Satan's will for your life is to stay that way. He's got you blinded, my friends. You know, I have people all the time, and you've heard them too, is that they'll argue that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. You know why they argue that point? It's because they're blinded. Unless the glorious light of the gospel, that light starts penetrating that darkness in their life. And this morning, that Jesus Christ, the light of Christ, starts shining into their life and starts to shine into that dark place that they're in. And all of a sudden, they start seeing the truth is Jesus Christ. Well, I love those days. You ever been out there when your dog's having puppies? Well, I remember we used to have some walker dogs. Me and my brother, mainly my brother, we was coon hunters. Because we'd listened to Jerry Cleyer all of our lives. Oh. Some of you don't know who Jerry Cleyer is. And you're supposed to be a coon hunter. The Ledbetters, they went with us coon hunting many times. Just kidding. But we had those old walker dogs. I remember some of the greatest days in our life was whenever my brother would be out there, hey, she's fixing to have puppies, boy. And you know what? It was always a joy to watch, see how many was coming. Then to see which one was going to stand first. And to see which one was going to burp first. Man, we'd be out there by that fence every day. Oh, you're a winner. Then there was the one over there that you call clumsy. We're going to sell that one. But you know what a great day in our lives is when a Christian is born again, or when a lost person is born again. Boy, isn't that a good day when you see people come to this altar. And we just had this just a couple weeks ago. Somebody come down to this altar and knew that they were lost and received Jesus Christ as Savior. Man, I'm like, whew. Devil, lost one. You lost that one. You couldn't keep her blinded. Why? Because she just kept coming. She kept hearing the Word of God. And the light of the glorious gospel just kept penetrating that darkness. And guess what? Jesus Christ won. Whew. Good day. But if you're lost this morning, He just wants to keep you blinded. What does He want to keep you blinded? He wants to keep you blinded that there's no hell. You know, preachers today, they want to preach without preaching hell. But can I say you can't preach heaven without hell? There is a penalty for sin, and the wages of sin is death. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. But if you're a Christian this morning, Satan's will for your life, and just as it was if you read the rest of the Bible, Satan didn't give up after the Garden of Eden and say, whoo, won. No. And his angels, he didn't say, hey, we're done, guys. Let's take a break. Till the tribulation period, we're good. No, he didn't do that. What did he do? You see his mark all through the Bible. You take all the bad kings. You think, who was illustrating that? Satan was. Who do you think was trying to take out the newborns? That was Satan. He was trying to take away that seed of Christ all through the Bible, but he couldn't. But yet, today, he's still trying to destroy our lives. How does he destroy a Christian's life? Discouragement, regret, remembrance of your old life. And hey, listen, when I remember my old life, it's gone. Jesus put it underneath the blood. But you know what? Sometimes people start thinking about their old life, and they'll think, man, I'd sure like to go back to that. Satan sure makes it appealing. But you know what? I remember what my old life was. And I don't want to go back there for nothing. He wants to keep you bewildered this morning. His will is that. If you read the rest of this chapter, verses 14 through 15 shows us that sin causes division. Causes division between God and man. In verse 16, we see that sin always brings pain. Women, listen to me. If sin would have never happened, birth would have been a breeze for y'all. You think about that. But you know what? I've never seen a woman have a baby and go, whoo. I've been in the back of ambulances with them before. With earplugs on. And you don't ever say, hey, hold my hand. Because that hand's gone. Right? Why? Because there's pain in that. Why is there pain in that? Because of sin. But if you notice, too, in verse 18, that sin brings thorns in our life. When Adam tended to the ground, there was not much to do. But now he's got to tend to all the thorns and the thistles that are now growing. Why? Because of sin. You want to know why we have weeds in our life? It's because of sin. You want to know why we have these thorns in our life? Even Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Why? Because of sin. We are a fallen people this morning. Satan's will for your life is to die and go to hell. His will for the Christian's life is to be miserable, to take your joy away, to get you out of church, to get you out of Bible, to get you out of praying, to get you out of witnessing, to get you out of giving, and get you out of just being the Christian you know you should be. That's his job, and you've got to be. Hey, listen, the Bible tells us over in Ephesians that the wiles of the devil is the same word that you see that I used earlier. It means beguile. He wants to trick you. You got to be smart. How do you defeat the devil? The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may defend yourself. But have the sword so you can be on the offense side. This morning, Christ didn't leave us comfortless. Or Christ didn't leave us armorless. Christ didn't leave us helpless. Christ didn't say, well, good luck to you. Hope you defeat it. No. He said, with my strength and my power, we can defeat the devil. How do we do that? We just don't give in to him. And we hold on to the Word of God and we hold on to Christ with all of our might. And we don't turn from it. We don't move from it. We stand firm in the faith and stand firm and stand firm and say, devil, you're not going to get me today. You ever have one of those days where you got up, you read your Bible, you prayed, went off to work. Before you know it, your mind's done went, shh. Got to be careful. Because if the devil can get you to quit thinking about spiritual things, that's just one step in his armor. In his armory that he's going to use. That's just one of his artilleries that he's going to use in your life to get your mind to drift. Even in preaching. It's fun to watch people. I always say we need to move that camera, Brother Adam, and put it here. And when preaching starts, it's amazing. Right? Then you get toward the end, it's like, I can't remember if I got wrote that down or not. Everybody, you know, we're thinking about, man, I can't remember. Did we turn that pot roast on? Or did I turn it off? Are we going to eat at the Lonesome Spur or are we going to eat here? I mean, it happens to me. I'll be singing a hymn song, oh, victory in Jesus. And in my mind, I'm going, now, did I put those papers out there for all those people to sign up on? Just that quick. Satan wants to destroy us. He's a roaring lion. Walking about, seeking whom he may what? Devour. He wants to get rid of you this morning. But can I say, just as Satan has a will for your life, so does God. God's will for your life is for you to be saved, to be surrendered, and to be serving in your local New Testament church. That's it. Satan's going to watch your life, and he's going to find your weak points. My wife would kill me for telling you this, but most of you know. When my wife came to this church, she was not as smart as I was. And she let people know where her weakness was. It's spiders. My wife is horrified, terrified. If I could have any other fide word, she's scared. I mean, not just like, oh, there's a spider. There was a banana spider at our house the other day. And we went home, and my wife became Pentecostal all of a sudden. I'm telling you why. I thought the Holy Ghost then got a hold of her. I was fanning her. I was like, go, honey. No. That banana spider was up there, and I tell you what, my wife just, ah. You know what people do around here at the church because they're such kind people? And because they love me? Is that I believe it was just last week somebody shook her hand with a fake spider in their hand. Now, how do you know that? She gave it away. Now, some of you know we can't list all of mine, but things I'm scared of anyway, because I don't tell many people. And if I do, I'll lie to you and tell you something. I'm definitely scared of teddy bears. I mean, those things really scare me. But you know what Satan does? He watches our life just as I believe this with all my heart, is that he began to watch Eve. He began to watch. That matter of fact, you know this. Why didn't he go to Adam? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about why Satan didn't go to Adam? Because he knew the weaker vessel was Eve. He knew that he had a greater chance with her than he did with Adam. By the way, you read on down in that scripture after man falls, and it says they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. You know what I believe? I believe that before Jesus Christ walked with them and talked with them, but now that they were blinded, the only thing they couldn't see him, they could hear him. By the way, you may be that way this morning. You may not be able to see him yet through spiritual eyes. But I hope this morning you've listened and you've heard the truth and that you'll come. If you're lost this morning, hey, don't let Satan win the victory in your life. Jesus Christ already won it for you. All you got to do is claim the prize. All you got to do is claim the free gift he's trying to hand out to you this morning. If you're here and you're a Christian, hey, listen to me. If anything, you say, well, Satan didn't get me this week. Hey, hallelujah for that. But can I tell you, he's going to try harder next week. And we got to come and pray, Lord, strengthen me. Let's stand this morning, heads bowed, eyes closed, as our musicians come forward this morning. Our Father, this morning, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your watching over us and protecting us. And Lord, even in those times, Lord, when we couldn't protect ourselves, Lord, you were there. Lord, we know this morning we have an enemy, and you said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Lord, it's not our fellow man. But Lord, our enemy this morning is our flesh and the devil. Lord, I see his work all over this world. And Lord, how he's blinded people and how he's beguiled people. And Lord, he's bewildered people. And Lord, just he's working every day. But Lord, I pray this morning, God, if there's one here that's never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, I pray, God, you loose the binds that they're bound with. And Lord, that you would loose that, God, which they're blinded with. Lord, help them to see the truth this morning, that Jesus Christ is here to save them. And Lord, this morning I pray for the Christian. Lord, maybe Satan's crept in. And Lord, maybe they haven't realized how far away they've gone away. But Lord, through the message this morning, through your will this morning, through your Holy Spirit this morning, they see, Lord, they maybe stepped away. They're not as close as they used to be. Lord, maybe they're here this morning. Maybe this week was a good week for them. But Lord, we know next week, Lord, what may it hold? Lord, I pray this morning you'd strengthen us, you'd fortify us, God. Lord, and I pray that you'd help us during this invitation. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 544, Almost Persuaded, this morning.